Harry's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
Okay, and final question. Why do you feel you are particularly well qualified to be my personal assistant?
Well, Your Satanic Majesty, I'm hard-working, good sense of humour, but obviously most important of all, I am physically repulsive to mortals.
Well, Prof, as our token mortal, is he right?
Certainly, I'd say any creature that takes the form of a giant tapeworm would probably be deemed repulsive by the majority of humans, yeah.
I don't know if I want a worm as my number two, though, I mean, even if he is 40 yards long. I mean, he's more draft excluder than demon, isn't he? I keep tripping over him, you know.
Believe me, my prince, I am a demon among demons and the most talented of tormentors.
Really? Who was your last tormentee?
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
And how did you torment him?
I chained him to a rock and then sang the whole of Cosi Fan Tutte.
Go on.
Whilst accompanying myself on a Hammond organ.
Oh, yes. Now that is genius. Yeah, yeah.
How does a giant worm play a Hammond organ?
Very badly. As I'm sure old Wolfgang would have noticed. Yeah.
You should have heard him scream for me to stop.
What, in German?
Yes.
Why does screaming sound so much better in German, eh? I could listen to them forever. Funny, eh? It's something to do with the umlauts, I think, and the verb being at the end, anyway. Anyway, I'll be honest with you. We are still seeing other candidates, so we will be in touch.
Thank you, my infernal emperor.
Well, he's certainly the most revolting-sounding applicant we've had. And I like the way he suffurates. That's very stylish. But on the minus side, he's a worm. Which means there has to be a bit of a question mark over his mobility, I think.
Well, by my reckoning, that's 97 candidates you've interviewed. But not counting that Hydra, whose 8 heads were interested in it as a job share.
No, those arrangements never work. No, we've got to find someone, though, because my workload's just getting... I mean, you know, right, we are now so swamped that there are actually damned souls going unpunished. There are now human rectums down here that have never seen a single hornet. I'm embarrassed.
Have you ever thought that perhaps the whole concept of hell is now a little outmoded?
I'm listening.
Well, the whole punishing thing, it's a bit antiquated and pointless, isn't it? And very inefficient. Think of all the resources you'd free up if you didn't bother with it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes. So in future, the damned souls would arrive in hell and be greeted by assorted ghouls, demons and beasts of darkness who would then give them counselling and group hugs. Is that what you mean?
Well, that sort of thing, yeah.
Nice try, Prof. But I wasn't born yesterday, okay? In fact, I don't think I was born.
What about when you were an angel?
No, I think he made us from kits. I'm not sure. I can't really remember. Anyway, look. Anyway, it's not the concept of hell that's the problem. It's you lot. You're too prolific. You're breathing faster, sinning faster. You're even dying faster. And you're forever inventing more and more ingenious ways of dying. I mean, first it was dynamite, then cigarettes. Then it was feeding diseased sheep to cows. Then flying with Aeroflot. And have you heard the latest one? Oh, get a load of this, right? In order to achieve the ultimate sexual experience, people have started strangling themselves. Just to try and make the earth move, and it does usually get shoveled on top of their coffin. All for one more orgasm.
Well, I think that's rather sad.
Sad? It's hilarious. Where's your sense of humour? I mean, there is every possibility that mankind will be the first species to masturbate itself into extinction. Now, you're not going to tell me that isn't funny.
Oh, but the poor people who do that sort of thing...
They're not poor people who do that sort of thing. They're rich, bored people.
Oh, they're disturbed, presumably.
Well, a few of them are disturbed. I mean, the rest are just found in the morning. All right, Scumspawn, we know you got a decent roar, but you're still not getting the job.
But please, I am your most loyal of demons. I only exist to serve you, my prince.
Yeah, well, you can best serve me by going off and finding any newly damned individuals who've not yet received their introductory scourging.
'Tis done, my liege. I shall make them drink dragon's bile.
Yeah, well, try not to spill it, yeah? Last time it burnt right through your hoof.
You shall hear their tormented wails.
Hmm. Tormented wails. Now, there's a thought.
What?
Oh, no, nothing. Hello. Listen.
Oh, is that the worm demon with Mozart?
Well, it's not coming from an ice hockey match, is it? Come on, I know, let's take the dog for a walk. Cerberus! Cerberus, here, boy. Walkies! Walkies! Yeah, all right, hang on. What have you done with all your leads, boy? Come on.
Cerberus likes his game of fetch, doesn't he? I've lost sight of him completely now.
Well, I threw that cardinal a fair old way, didn't I?
I don't think I've visited this part of your domain before.
Oh, it's a new extension. Yeah, I've knocked through 12 pits to create a big open plan abyss, or a oblivion-themed suffering space, as the designer likes to call it.
Oh, it's very nice.
Oh, it's not finished. No, they've got to come back and make good.
I've been thinking, you know, about our bet.
Look at all these dirty mugs they've left. I don't know, the times I've told them, honestly.
You know, our wager, that if I can change Thomas into a caring human being, then you'll let my wife stay with me here. Well, I was thinking, I mean, the bet's pretty pointless, really. Isn't it?
And this isn't the colour I asked for. I definitely said despair black. This is more like chaos ebony.
Because, let's face it, Deborah is such a nice, kind person that she's... Well, she's bound to end up, you know, in the other place, isn't she?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, no doubt. Does the edge of that abyss look straight to you?
I was wondering, what's heaven like?
Do you think maybe you're asking the wrong person?
Well, you started out in heaven.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago.
I mean, is it very beautiful?
It's all right, I suppose, if you like that kind of thing. Bit picture postcard for my taste, but, you know.
But what does it look like?
Have you been to Scotland?
Yeah?
Well, heaven is like Scotland, only without the midges. And the Scots, obviously.
Do you miss heaven?
That abyss definitely isn't flush, you know. I don't know, if you don't stand over them all the time, you know. Aha, here we are.
Good grief. Water.
And what's in the water?
Ha! A dolphin! Well, I'll be buggered.
Never say that in hell, Prof. All right. Small tip there, okay.
What's a dolphin doing here?
Well, you are looking at the unforeseen downside of evolution. You see, as a species, dolphins have evolved to such a high level of intelligence that they're now deemed to be responsible for their actions.
So it's the only animal intelligent enough to be damned.
Correct. Conversely, you'll find no fashion journalists in hell.
Oh, but surely dolphins are social-friendly creatures.
No. Dolphins are evil little gits. But well, they get away with murder because they've got that happy smile, you know. And this one is the most evil of them all. Incredibly intelligent. A criminal genius. A Moriarty among marine mammals. His name's Chuckles.
Oh, come on. I'm
telling you, this dolphin is so vicious... Killer whales used to cross to the other side of the ocean when they saw him coming.
So why is he called Chuckles?
Well, he's not. His real name is... Or... For short. He got given the name Chuckles when he was a performing dolphin.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he starred in the remake of Flipper. Actually, he managed to drown 5 American child actors.
Good God.
Well, I said he was bright, didn't I? And I am considering Chuckles as my new assistant.
Well, won't there be a bit of a communication problem?
No, I understand everything he says.
So, what was that?
He's offering to smash your face in for a bucket of herrings.
But as your assistant, I mean, wouldn't the dolphin have a bit of a mobility problem?
He says he can walk for miles on that tail. How do you think he managed to rob all those banks? Hey? Oh, you're kidding.
What's he saying now?
Oh, he's telling me this very funny anecdote about the time he disconnected Jacques Cousteau's air tanks.
Yes, well, while you get to know your new chum, I think I'd better find Thomas and crack on with his moral education. I've got to win that bet.
Yeah, in your dreams, mortal. Oh, don't ask, Chuckles. It's a long story.
Okay, Thomas. Now, this, as I see it, is the problem. You don't like the way you are.
No.
It's horrible being you.
It is.
Now, let's see if we can draw a bit of a map of your psyche. Now, I'm going to mention some words, and I'd like you to respond with the first thing that comes into your head, all right? Mm. Here goes. Money.
Want.
Women.
Want.
Power.
Want.
Want.
Everything.
Right.
Humans are so big on self-pity, aren't they, eh? Do you know, Hitler still maintains that he was just overcompensating for having his testicles laughed at in the shower. Yeah, you know, well, I thought it was just propaganda, but I've seen him naked and the song was right. Yeah. I don't think the bit about the Albert Hall was true. I think they were just looking for a rhyme, you know. Why do you want me to tell you about the professor?
Father.
Hate.
Brother.
Hate.
Mother.
Hate.
Oh, this is ridiculous. No one hates all their family. Except possibly on Christmas Day.
Are you saying I'm not normal?
Well, I mean, everyone has the occasional unkind thought about someone, but...
You don't.
Well, of course I do. Sometimes. For instance, when you forced me off the road in your flash car and killed me, thus dispatching me to this place, I had unkind thoughts about you, involving a machete.
I died in that accident too, you know. I was struck down in my prime, all that human potential. Who knows what I might have achieved? I might have discovered a cure for cancer. Yeah. Think of the money I'd have made out of that. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
This is demoralising.
You can say that again. You're such a paragon of virtue. I'll never meet your standards, will I? I'm doomed to fail.
They're all right, then. Now, what if I tell you about some of my moments of weakness?
The thing is, Chuckles, the professor is kind and selfless, serene. It's completely undermined my faith in human nature. Well, exactly. I have actually placed it on record that the professor's in the wrong afterlife. Yeah. No, I raised it with the Almighty himself, but you know what God's like. He'll never admit a mistake. No. It's Israel all over again. Yeah. Don't have a chosen people, I said. It'll just cause trouble, I said, but no. He gives them the prime site with all the oranges, you know. Well, deep down, I suppose, the professor must have a dark side, yes, but... Well, that's a very crafty suggestion. Brilliantly crafty.
It was 1979, and me and a colleague, Dickie Freestone, were doing some joint research into particle wave theory.
Oh, right, so you were hairdressers.
Particle wave theory is physics.
Oh, right, got you. Sorry.
It's an area of science that attempts to tackle key questions about the very essence of the universe. It is nothing to do with hairdressing.
Okay.
Anyway, over a period of years, we came up with this complex theoretical equation. And then we set up experiments to test the equation. And, well, it worked. We were jubilant. Dickie got some champagne and we drank into the night. Only I think Dickie must have drugged the champagne because I woke up 48 hours later and lo and behold, Dickie had published our equation. He'd systematically removed all record of my work on the project. They even named a bloody equation after him. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, that equation should be hyphenated. I mean, what he did to me was the most immoral.
I mean, you know, when you look at all the planning and the ruthless execution of it, I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful. No, I know it's disgraceful. That's what I should be thinking, isn't it?
Yes, you should.
So when you realised how he'd stitched you up, what did you do?
Well, I tried to prove my stake in the work. But it was no use. I mean, he'd destroyed my notes. He'd covered his tracks perfectly. And frankly, I wanted to kill him. For a while, I fantasized hourly about having my hands around his scrawny throat and then squeezing all the air out of him.
Oh, yeah. Slowly, till he goes limp and cold, and then slinging him in the boot of your car and driving to a chalk pit and dumping the body and then getting your secretary to say you were with her all the time. What? Why are you looking at me like that? I just picked that example at random. I saw it on Inspector Morse.
Anyway, I went on wishing him dead for a bit. Well, 6 years, actually. And then I realised that it was stopping me from getting on with the rest of my life. So I chose to forget. Just buried the pain and the hate. The best thing I ever did.
Right, so what happened to him?
Oh, he became very rich and very famous. But he won't have had peace of mind. So I came out of it all a lot better than him in the end.
No, I'm sorry, you've lost me. You've lost me somewhere now. Look, can we go back and start again?
Well, all you need to know is that I have experienced hatred. But, and it's an important but, I made myself a vow that I will never be a prisoner of the past. I will never...
Never, ever give in to hatred again. That's what he said. Not even if Dicky Freestone was standing here before me.
Very good, Scumspawn. An excellent piece of spying there, and well done, Chuckles, for suggesting it, yeah. What would you like as a reward? Scumspawn?
Yes?
Who's Sharon Davis? Why are you scrunching your face up? You look like you're chewing a wasp.
Well, it's the brightness, you know, the green of the trees and the pink of the blossom and the bright blue sky.
I know, garish, isn't it?
No, it's wonderful. It's just so long since I've walked on Earth. But why have you brought me back?
Well, as a man of science, I thought you might like to observe the ancient black art of sowing mischief.
Sowing mischief?
That's right. Now, sowing mischief can take many forms. For instance, I can turn myself into an artifact and trigger chaos and corruption. In my time, I've been Michael Schumacher's steering wheel, a temperature gauge at Chernobyl, a leaf on a railway line outside Waterloo, and Bill Clinton's zipper. 53 times. I've got tired of that. Too many friction burns. Now, the other tried and trusted method of diabolic mischief-making, of course, is possession.
Well, taking possession of people?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a lot of medieval mumbo-jumbo.
Well, it is true that in medieval times I did tend to get the blame for everything. I mean, if some nuns went a bit doolally, it was immediately assumed that I'd somehow got inside them.
And you hadn't?
No. The Pope had, usually, yeah. Especially Innocent III, he was a 40-a-day man, but... Ah, here we are. A nice, leafy Surrey street. My favourite. Now...
Hang on. I know this place. This is my street.
Oh, is it? What a coincidence.
And that's my house over there.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, the white one with the blue windows.
Yes.
And the man standing on the doorstep.
What?
There's a man on the doorstep. See, he's ringing the doorbell.
Why, the... What, that no-good, scabrous, evil piece of poxy scum!
You know him, then, do you?
It's Dicky bloody Freestone.
Oh, right. And someone important, is he?
Important? No, he's an insignificant dollop of dog mess. Aren't you Freestone, eh, you Judas?
You can shout as much as you want. He can't see or hear you. You might be giving off a slight smell of sulphur, but...
What's Freestone up to, eh? What's he doing on my doorstep?
Well, there's probably some perfectly innocent explanation for his being on your doorstep. Holding a bunch of flowers.
I tell you, the moment Deborah opens that door, she'll probably smack him in the mouth. You see if she doesn't.
Yeah.
She hates him as much as I do.
Oh, right. Oh, well, this will be worth watching then, yeah. Mm. Oh, she's opening the door. Got a nice smile, hasn't she?
Yes.
She seems pleased with the flowers. Oh, they're going inside. We can materialise inside the house, see what's going on.
No, I don't want to.
Come on, I'm sure it's harmless. There'll almost certainly be no rumpy bumpy or anything. Come on. You'd like to see her, wouldn't you?
Yes, but not with him.
I see.
She's changed.
Well, that's people for you.
I mean, she looks different. I mean, her hair and...
Well, maybe, but underneath, she's still your Deborah, isn't she, eh? And if you win the bet about Thomas, I mean, she's the one you'll spend eternity with, won't you, eh? I mean, that'll be nice, won't it?
Can we go back now? Please. I've seen more than enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
So, you got a trip back to the world of the living? How come you get all the treats, Well, come on, Professor, what about my tuition then? Oh, I've been practicing my word associations. I think you'll find I'm getting the hang of this decency business. Listen. Mother, cuddle. See? Not that I ever let her cuddle me, of course, she was far too common. What's the matter with you? Why is your face so grey?
It's my own fault. I put her up on a pedestal.
Who are we talking about?
My wife. You see, all the loving memories I have of her, they've always been something in the bank emotionally. Something to sustain me through this. Anyway, you can overinvest in memories, can't you? I mean, we all do it. Paint them in brighter colours than they really had. We should learn to appreciate the more pastel version.
I'm sorry, I'm trying my hardest to understand here, but...
Oh, forget it.
No. I'll get there. Now, it's something about you over-investing in a pastel-coloured bank, isn't it? That's it. A problem with financial advice that...
She was being nice to him. And smiling. Smiling at Dickie Freestone.
What, the bloke who stole your hyphen?
Yes! He was at my house, and she was smiling. That Dickie Freestone, and it hurts.
I'm sorry.
What?
What?
You just said you were sorry.
Did I? Good grief.
Did you say it because you thought that was what was expected?
No, it just sort of came out.
That's a breakthrough. You displayed a moment's sympathy for another human being. It's a definite breakthrough.
You're right. I did. I showed sympathy and real sensitivity about your wife being porked by some other bloke. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Did I not please you, Master?
Yes, you pleased me. I've said you pleased me.
Did I not most artfully take on the form of the Professor's wife?
Yes. What did you do with the real one?
Oh, nothing. She was out doing her big shop at Asda. What was that? Was I not like her? Her smile, her gestures?
Yes, you got her hair wrong, though.
I know. I always have trouble with the hair. Do you remember that time you sent me to torment John F. Kennedy?
Oh, yes, the bald Marilyn Monroe. Still, you gave him a pig of a fright.
I'll get the hair right next time, my prince. Next time you send me to walk among men and pose as a mortal. Next time you hatch a plan as brilliantly cunning as that one. Sending Dickie Freestone that invitation to visit was a masterstroke.
Yes, actually, it was Chuckles who hatched the entire plan, wasn't it, Chuckles? You're right, we did get to see the Professor's dark side, yes. And we broke his spirit, yes.
Does this mean you'll be appointing Chuckles to the vacancy?
Well, let's face it, Scumspawn. Chuckles is easily clever enough to be my assistant. In fact, he's too clever. You heard me. Yeah, I can't have someone who's craftier than me as my number two. It's just too dangerous. Now, there's no need for all that abuse. Yeah. And what is a mackerel shagger, anyway? No, I'm sorry, Chuckles, but you've got to go, mate.
What happened?
Oh, I dispersed his molecules through infinite time and space.
Oh, wicked!
So, does this mean the vacancy is still to be filled, my lord?
It does, yeah.
But perhaps I could fill the post on a trial basis, O monarch of my destiny.
We'll see. But first, Scumspawn, I want you to do something for me.
Anything, master.
I want you to tell the professor that his wife was doing the big shop at Asda. That the woman smiling at Dickie Freestone was you.
Well, if you're sure, master, but won't that diminish his torment?
There'll be other torments.
I see. Well, at least we finally found his dark side, his wounded, hating bit. That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Yes, I did, didn't I?
So, you're pleased?
Oh, yes, I'm glowing with pride, me.
Oh, look, here comes Cerberus.
Ah, I wonder where he got to.
He's a great dog. He's always so cheerful, isn't he? Mm.
Yeah, well, he's got three heads. He can bark, eat, and lick his genitals simultaneously. Life doesn't get any better for a dog, you know.
Yes, my prince. Well, I shall leave you to your thoughts.
Yeah, Scumspawn.
Yes, my prince?
About that job as my deputy.
Yes, my prince?
Do you think the worm could do it if we laid on transport?
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Crowd as the Professor, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Philip Pope as the Demon. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.